time for Lickin' on Lending.
Welcome, everybody. Good to have you with us.
Welcome to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news, all related to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now here's your host of Lickin' on Lending, David Lickin.
Let's begin.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. Good to have you with us. This is Monday, October 15th, 2018. And we're broadcasting from Washington, D.C. at the annual Mortgage Banking Conference. Wish you were here. I hope you're here. For those of you that are not here, we wish you were here. For those that are here, we're looking forward to seeing many of you. We all ran into many of our friends, and now we're looking forward to getting into this podcast. Again, this podcast is created by mortgage professionals. It is for mortgage professionals, and we're grateful to have you as our listener. Our commitment, as I say each week, is to bring you timely information in an audio format that you can listen to anytime and anywhere. I'm excited to have Bob Brooksmith joining us, who is the new incoming president and CEO of the Mortgage Bankers Association of America. He's replacing David Stevens. We're going to miss David, but Bob is going to do an outstanding job of shepherding and leading the Mortgage Bankers Association. We're excited that we were able to catch up with him a short time ago and record the interview. You're going to hear it in the Hot Topic segment. He's going to talk about his journey and path through the mortgage industry. He's going to talk about the ups and downs in the mortgage cycles, how his perspective on those. He's even touching on the thoughts about the GSE and GSE reform as we move forward. We know that all the changes are coming, both at Fannie Freddie and FHFA with the leadership changes. So you're going to want to stay tuned to the Hot Topic segment as we get in and air that interview with Bob. Anyway, it's good to have you with us. I want to give a special shout out to our sponsors, starting off with the Mortgage Bankers Association of America. Again, we're at the conference here in Washington, D.C. Grateful to have our partnership with them. And while you're at their website checking out all the future conferences, which you need to be at, be sure to check out the Mortgage Action Alliance. You do not have to be a member of the MBA to join the Mortgage Action Alliance and make a difference and have your voice heard in Washington, D.C. on many of the important legislation that is moving through Congress. So check it out. Mortgage Bankers Association, become a member and at least sign up for Mortgage Action Alliance. Also, looking forward to the Arch MI reception here at the conference. They are the creator of the Innovative Rate Star program and looking forward to seeing all of our friends at Arch MI. Also, Black Knight, the leading provider of integrated software and data analytics solutions. They're here at the conference in force. Looking forward to meeting so many of the ones that have been there for a long time, but also some of the newer companies that they've acquired recently. Guys like Sufi, Safavi, be sure to go back and check out the previous podcast. And then we have Open Mortgage, the leading buyer of reverse mortgage loans, as well as home of some of the top LOs. And listen to the spot we have coming up here just in a few minutes, where Scott Gordon does the science of sales. This is getting some real attention and some good play, as it is some great context for you LOs. You want to listen to that. Stay tuned a little bit later here during one of our ad breaks. Scott gives a great talk on the science of sales, one of the segments there you'll enjoy listening to. Also, we're proud to be a members of both the Lenders One Co-op as well as the Mortgage Collaborative. Now, both of these co-ops create competitive advantages both for its lenders and its vendor members. Both have receptions here at the conference. That's going to be going on one of these nights. I'm not sure which one it is right at the moment, but looking forward to seeing all of our friends there. Also, Velma, an efficient mortgage marketing and email platform that helps you get your message out. And, of course, KnowledgeCoop, providing easy and fun training for all of mortgage lenders. And then I want to just say a special thank you to Alice, Andy, Alan, and Joe for their contributions to this podcast. I just want to add, if you're in the Oakland area or in the Bay Area of San Francisco, check out the conference that I'm speaking at the Hilton Oakland Airport. Vince Valvo is putting on another mortgage expo there. It's the California Mortgage Expo, and it should be called the Northern California Expo, but I think the people are coming from all over California and Nevada in for this. But I'll be speaking on Tuesday, and again, be talking about digital disruption and the consumer direct model, what's going and what's working for many. So check it out. Oakland, California, October 23rd. Looking forward to seeing many of our friends there. You know, folks, I'm talking more and more about the digital business card. You know, I'm at this conference. I'm not even bringing business cards. I'm carrying with me the digital business card. It's also known as a virtual business card because you can share it on the spot with those that want your contact information. What's so nice about this, when I share my card, I also find out when they opened it, you know, what they looked at, and also if they share it with other members of their staff. So it allows me to kind of have an insight into where that connection is going. It's a powerful tool. Think about it. If you hand that business card to a realtor or a business connection that you're wanting to be introduced to or to have a sticky relationship with, you get that with the digital business card. Check it out at our website, Lickin & Lending website. It is a powerful tool and is part of the digital transformation. And the way we hand out business cards has drastically changed. Check it out. Let's get over to Les Parker with the TM Spotlight and this week's macro view of the markets. Les?
TM Spotlight Soundbites is brought to you by LoanLogix. And then along comes Dreary and doesn't want to give notes kicks and see new stock bears stick and give us pick up memories. Odds continue to drop that a recession happens in 2019 or 20. So, why would U.S. stocks be dreary? Stock prices adjust to alternative investment yields, which can drive corrections in spite of solid growth. Bond investors are wrestling with two giants, namely U.S. growth and global fragility. When U.S. growth bugs them, then mortgage rates rise. Conversely, when global fragility is top of mind, investors run to safety. When investors meet dreary stocks and fragility, then mortgages taste as sweet as the punch.
Sweet as the punch.
These views are my own. Go to tmspotlight.com to subscribe to my daily newsletter.
Sweet as the punch.
Thanks, Les. Again, go to tmspotlight.com to subscribe to Les's daily newsletter. It is free, and there's some paid versions you can get. Check it out at tmspotlight.com. Looking forward to hearing from Joe Farr, but before we do, let's listen to Scott Gordon of Open Mortgage talk about the science of sales.
Stories help customers relax and listen. They're memorable, they establish trust, and most importantly, they speak to the part of the brain where decisions are made. We make subconscious, emotional, and sometimes irrational decisions with one part of our brain. Then we justify those decisions with another. Stories provide depth and context to facts, which leads people to making secure and informed decisions. One poll found 30% of strangers are trustworthy. But when you asked what percentage of people you know, the median answer jumped to 70%. Telling a story is the most effective way to make someone feel like they know you. Stories provide glimpses into your world and invite your customers to tell you their stories. This cements trust between the parties, and once you have a customer's trust, you've usually got their business. A 2013 study found that only 1 in 5 sales calls provides enough stories to satisfy the customer. So why tell a story? Because it works. If this sounds too good to be true, it's not. It's just the science of sales.
Hey, Joe, good to have you on the podcast. Appreciate you bringing us a market update. What do you have for us this week?
Good morning, Dave. This is Joe. I'm recording this on Friday. And because of that, I cannot tell you if retail sales came in better or worse this morning. Monday morning, retail sales is scheduled to be announced. And as usual, it's one of the most important economic events of the month. And so if it was hotter than expected, it may be bad for rates this morning. If it was lower than expected, it may be bad for stocks this morning, but good for rates. So it will be there and affecting the market on Monday. So looking at this week, or the week ending October 12th, it was really a wild week for stocks. Stock market dropped over 1,000 points, and as has been the case in the past, many times when the stock market sells off, the bond market benefits, and the bond market includes mortgage-backed securities, which affects mortgage rates. And so there was a small benefit in the bond market this week because of the stock market sell-off. Not a big one, maybe 6 or 7 basis points in rate, but prices improved by about 3/8 of a point. And that's through mid-morning on Friday. It's been not a real volatile day on Friday for the bond market, but the stock market has really been fluctuating. It's positive, offsetting some of the prior week major losses, but it's off the lows for the day, off the highs for the day, I'm sorry. So it's up about 150 points, when at one point it was up 350 points. So during the week, there were several economic events that came out. Most importantly were the inflation measures. Both PPI came out, that's the producer price index, and CPI came out, which is the consumer price index, CPI being the more important of the two. And its core measure is the most important of that. So during the month of September, core CPI showed inflation rising at 0.1%, which was below the expected 0.2%. Now, putting that on an annual basis, core CPI rose 2.2% over the last 12 months, which is the same as last month. So it wasn't a big market mover. Now, looking at the week ending the 19th, there's several significant events besides the Monday retail sales, which I mentioned earlier. On Tuesday, we're going to get industrial production and JOLTS. Those are both pretty significant economic indicators. JOLTS is a favored measure of the labor market, favored by the Fed. So that's coming out on Tuesday. On Wednesday, we'll get housing starts. And then on Friday, we're going to get existing home sales. All of these are pretty important measures of growth in the economy and will give investors a sense of whether or not it is picking up steam or kind of as was evidenced by the stock market sell-off. Maybe some people are expecting that the economy is slowing. You know, what happens in the stock market on the week of the 19th could move mortgage rates kind of like it did this week, especially if more of that last week's losses are reversed. We'll see some improvement in mortgage rates. The minutes of the September 26th Fed meeting will be released during the week, and surprises that's going to happen on Wednesday. Surprises in the minutes will move mortgage rates at times. And as has been the case in the past, things in the political environment, trade talks, things like that are always a focus in the market and will likely have an impact on mortgage rates during the week of the 19th. So, Dave, that's my report for the week. I know it's a little bit premature because it's Friday and we usually talk about this on Monday, but I hope that's helpful and I hope you have a great week. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Joe. Appreciate that update. Listeners, if you're looking for an easy and fun training technology, listen to what our friends at Knowledge Cube have to offer. It is for mortgage lenders and is powered by the Smart Digital Platform.
At the Knowledge Cube, we work hard to create training that engages and encourages our audience. Once people are engaged in training, they are more likely to stay focused and retain the information that they need to know. So here's your training tip for the week. Next time you have an important policy or bit of knowledge you need to train, do it in short clips and make sure you sprinkle it in with a little bit of humor. Video training is highly impactful, but only when done in the way we've been conditioned through TV. Videos should be no more than 5 minutes, should get to the point, and humor should be sprinkled through to emphasize the important points. Memories are more powerful when attached to an emotion. If you need help with your company's training, please reach out to us at knowledgecube.com and we'd be happy to assist. And that's your training minute from the Knowledge Cube, which strives for easy and fun training for the mortgage industry powered by a smart digital platform.
Thanks, Nathan. Again, to learn more, go to knowledgecoop.com. That's knowledge, C-O-O-P.com. Alice, it was so good being with you on Saturday at the Empower event. Thanks so much for joining me at the table and helping me with some of those interviews. What do you have for us today on the legislative update?
Hi, everyone, and thanks, Dave, for the introduction. This is Alice Alvey reporting to you live from the Mortgage Bankers Association Annual Conference. It's been a terrific conference already with lots to report to you about. First of all, I want to give you an update on the Empower event that was held Saturday. Union Home Mortgage sent 7 women to this event, and we absolutely were blown away as to how much we learned, all the connections we were able to make, and everyone really got a lot out of the event. So thank you, Marcia Davies, for pulling together really such a terrific opportunity for women to get to know each other and meet each other and meet the leaders in the industry, the women leaders, and also learn about how to grow their own personal value and grow as a leader within the mortgage industry. We were able to watch Mika Brzezinski, who did a terrific job this year. She conducted two different sessions, and in both of them, she got very personal, was very humble, and really shared a lot of her life lessons that the audience really got a lot of value out of. And of course, we really appreciate that she took the time and MBA made the investment for her to be there. I think our favorite speaker was definitely Janine Davis. She closed the event. She was absolutely dynamic. She refers to herself as a swearing Christian, so that won many of us over right away that she was very honest about her background. She has an incredible story, and she actually does a lot of coaching for the ATF, the FBI, the CIA on body language. And so be careful, all of you out there. There were 500 of us in the audience who now have about 6 or 7 secrets in body language clues and eye contact that will tell us a lot about whether or not you're telling us the truth, whether or not you're giving us buy signals. We learned a ton of stuff, and I think actually we want to make sure we can get her at one of our events going forward. So Janine Davis, look her up for body language. Anyway, so Saturday was terrific with all of the women event for the Empower Women's Leadership Summit. And then, of course, on Sunday is the committee meetings, and I attended the legislative committee meeting, which is always very informative. We did have two representatives there from HUD, and two items I think I want to make sure you're all very aware of. HUD has made a statement that the combination of DTIs and credit scores is on their radar, and that's all they would say. We tried to press for more information. There really wasn't any specifics that they're going to give us other than they're watching it, and there are certain combinations that are certainly starting to cause risk for the fund, and therefore, you know, we're all going back going, all right, I'm going to start to take a look at our metrics and see what we need to be careful of in our performance. So heads up with that. Watch your DTI and credit score combinations. The second item that was very relevant was many lenders were trying to press HUD to tell us very specifically in an open forum that whether or not DACA borrowers are acceptable. So for those of you who may not be aware, a borrower who is here on a DACA visa, or a person who's here on a DACA visa, is really a deferred action of deportation. And what HUD did say is, well, then those visas are only valid for 2 years, and your obligation is to verify that income will continue or is reasonably expected to continue for 3 years. That's about as specific as they would get in that forum, other than constantly repeating that they believe the 4000.1 is clear without coming right out and saying that it's not acceptable to close a loan with them. I will tell you that I talked to a couple of lenders in the audience who did say they've received feedback from the FHA Resource Center that is very clear and does specifically say that in no uncertain terms, in a sentence, FHA does not accept a DACA visa. So for all the lenders out there, be very careful. If you believe this is a gray area, I think HUD's message as we were walking out of that meeting was they don't see it as gray. Next up at the meeting was the BCFP, the Bureau of Consumer Financial Protection. Get used to saying it that way. They were very open and straightforward and actually very knowledgeable of the issues that are the pillars that the industry needs from them. So obviously one of the main is LO comp. They know they have to address HMDA. And of course they had all of those requests for information that were posted earlier this year to collect information on how they could better improve their process for taking action, making sure it's clarified for the process, you know, instead of this ruling through litigation, we want more clarity in certain regulations, and in particular MSAs. So that was another area that came up. So they were very forthcoming about recognizing LO comp, HMDA, the rulings process and enforcement process, as well as MSAs. No specific answers, but a good conversation. Also, we have that we're going to be watching while we're here, and we talked a little bit in the meeting, was Fannie Freddie, you know, that the fact that they're going to need to get a plan, right? So there would be potentially a gap in what we did for ATRQM. So the ATRQM relief for the fact that you have a DU or an LP approval technically ends January 1st of 2021. So that means we need a solution in 2020 to fill this gap. And so the challenge is, if for some reason this lapses and Congress does not come up with a final solution by the end of 2020, which, you know, to get legislation through, we better have something now in order to actually be able to implement, have a good 12-month window of getting all the technology adjusted. So there's a lot that has to be done in 2019 so that we have development time in 2020 to actually be ready on January 1st of 2021. So the sense of urgency has truly got to be a very high level, because the gap that would be caused, obviously what would happen is more loans would fall to FHA. They gave some estimates, but of course it's all estimates. FHA was very clear they can't handle the extra volume. And it's not only from a capacity standpoint, but from very much a risk standpoint as well, right? So there's pressure on the fund, as well as pressure on just operations. So, you know, right now it's still 98% of the market is Fannie Freddie, and a very small percentage is non-QM. So CFPB was very aware that they need to do something to make Appendix Q easier to work with, have a broader application. There were many ideas on the table, but of course nothing finalized yet. So they believe they play a role in trying to aid in that transition, but certainly we know that the Fannie Freddie reform or the secondary market reform needs to be front and center. So that's the update today, Dave, from our event here. Sorry for a little bit of the background noise as I try to find a corner that's quiet, but there's no such thing at a conference. It was great to see Dave Licken at the conference. He was very much a part of the Empower event and very much there to, he did a lot of recordings, and I encourage all of you to listen to the recordings that he collected while we were there. Speaking with Dave Hebron from Wintrust, he gave a lot of insight about how a corporation can move forward in developing the women and making sure they have a policy of diversity and inclusion. So I encourage all of you, find that recording when Dave gets a chance to post it and listen to it many times. So anyway, Dave, thank you very much, and I'll kick it back to you.
Thanks, Alice, for that update. Now let's take a quick ad break and listen to Jim Jump of Arch MI. Jim?
Thanks, David. Let me tell your audience a little bit about ArchMI RateStar. RateStar is the most sophisticated pricing solution for mortgage insurance quotes ever built. RateStar has an advanced revolutionary design. It's simple to use, it's easy to access, and it's fully mobile. You can access it anywhere, anytime. RateStar provides a more sophisticated and dynamic pricing solution, far superior than conventional rate sheets. It's available on loan origination systems through many pricing engines, and it rewards your origination of high-quality loans, again, with our most competitive rates. Of course, RateStar is backed by ArchMI's people power, providing superior support and service whenever you might need it. For more information about RateStar, please go to archmi.com or archmicu.com for credit unions. Thanks, David.
Now it's time for the Tech Update with Alan Pollack. Good to have you with us, Alan. What do you have this week for the Tech Report? Alan?
Thanks, David. Awesome week here at MBA Annual, Washington, D.C. The weather isn't too bad. For me, it's a nice break from the heat in North Florida. There weren't too many people at the airport wearing shorts alongside me, but I enjoyed the cold air. The vibe here today, David, was great. Lots of people talking about acquisitions and mergers, valuations, margins, and technology. The theme around technology seems to be about the borrower experience. There's a lot of talk around LOS platforms, point of sale, title, and servicing. I spoke to a few lenders today, and I think the very common topic is, how does technology actually help me beyond my loan origination system? And there's a lot going on. It takes a lot to make a change. There's a lot of stuff going on in the market. And so leading up to this week, there's been a number of news announcements. Let's start with those. First American Mortgage Solutions is showcasing their end-to-end digital mortgage platform. It's going to be a live demonstration. It's presented by their mortgage solution department, their president and vice president, who also is the host of the HDTV and DIY series Restored. They're going to give a demo of this innovative digital solution designed to lower costs, increase production speed, and of course, improve the borrower experience. Very interesting service link. There was an announcement made at Digital Mortgage. They're continuing to talk about their future of the mortgage industry with their Exos technology, which addresses all of the critical consumer touch points from the start of the origination process all the way to loan servicing. It is unique if you think about all the data that they sit on top of. It can be private labeled. It delivers a full suite of products, and it even works through the entire life of loan with servicing. It's been years of research. It's innovative across tens of millions of transactions. And it uses machine learning, artificial intelligence, and the best part of optimizes every user touch point with behavioral data. And I think we've heard a lot about AI, we've heard a lot about machine learning. Behavioral data is a term that I'm starting to hear more and more about. CloudVerga was selected to demo their mobile point of sale. It's a mobile-first solution designed to set the needs for loan originators and home buyers in a purchase environment. It was unveiled at Digital Mortgage in Las Vegas, and it focuses on how loan originators can collaborate with borrowers. And today, well, not really today, one day last week, but let's say it's today, Informative Research announced that they have a new integration with Mortgage Hippo's digital lending platform. Their statement says that our cutting-edge technology combined with Mortgage Hippo's robust digital platform is a perfect match. This is actually kind of interesting. DocMagic made an announcement that they are collaborating on an e-mortgage and e-closing training program that's designed for closing agents. They developed the program and they will train agents on how to handle the e-closing process on their platform. Another great, interesting story is Credible.com. They announced the launch of their first-of-kind mortgage marketplace. And what they're saying is that you can shop for actual rates in 3 minutes, your personal data is never sold, and you can even shop and close on their platform. Also, Norcom Mortgage starts their e-closing platform. They're saying that they are the first lender in Connecticut to offer a fully digital closing, and they're doing that with Pavaso. Another announcement is WebMax. They've boosted their digital mortgage platform with the addition of 4 new C-suite executives. They're building out their team to bring their product to market. Blend and DocuTech have integrated. They made an announcement just a couple days ago. And they're hoping to provide an accurate view of the borrower's financial profile, ensuring compliance and improving speed to close. Roostify, by the way, just integrated with Ellie Mae and Compass. What's unique about this integration is it is a bi-directional integration. And what they're saying is that consumers will be able to review and sign Encompass-generated documents in Roostify, giving them a consistent, unified experience. That one's kind of interesting because being able to sign Encompass-generated documents outside of the Compass platform has been difficult. I will look at more on this Roostify integration, but it is good news. So get this one. Figure Technologies, a startup founded by the former SoFi CEO, Mike Cagney, is a new home equity product that allows consumers to borrow against the equity of their home without the intensive paperwork, which Figure Technologies is saying takes 45 days. It's a 5-minute approval and it is a 5-day funding. And they say that they have a built-in e-notarization process, as well as they use their own blockchain protocol. They say that they'll hold those loans on their balance sheet, and they also plan to launch a reverse mortgage platform. And then for any of you that are listening and are in the hub today at MBA, there will be live demos from Simple Nexus, a new name I haven't heard of, which is BombBomb, saying they're going to humanize the mortgage process with video, Abby, Blue Sage, CloudVerga, Mortgage Translations, and then there's going to be some great sessions. Two of them most specifically that I'm interested in is big data and analytics and blockchain. Looking forward to meeting many of you at the conference here this week. Looking forward to the content. And David, talk to you again next week.
Thanks, Alan, for the update. Now let's head over to Andy Schell, the Profit Doctor, for an update. Andy?
Hello, everyone on Lickin' on Lending. It's great to be on the show this week. I know we are broadcasting from the MBA conference. This is a recorded version. So we'll just get started. This is Andy Schell, the Profit Doctor. Today's October the 15th. And we've been having our accounting webinar, which has been going great. This week on Wednesday the 17th, we're going to be covering hedging. It's always a very fun topic. It's a little bit complicated. Actually, it's probably one of the most complicated aspects of mortgage lending, but we're going to get into hedging this week. Last week, we covered repurchase risk from first payments in interim servicing. It's one of those things where people kind of scratch their head and go, oh, yeah, And then they go, oh, no, are we taking care of that? So that was last week. We're going to be talking about fun stuff this week. And so today now on Licking on Lending for the Profit Doctor, I want to talk about be the best you can be. How can we be the best that we can be? We are facing economic stress now in the industry. We've got volume down. We've got margins down. We've got rates going up. I'm sure Joe talked about the 10-year going up. And so that means affordability is becoming more of an issue, which again pushes volume down. So we've got to figure out how we can be our best, pursue our core competency, and be successful throughout the next 6 months. We're coming up on the winter time, so we've got to figure out how to preserve our volume and reduce our costs. So a couple of quick things to think about. There's two key elements. There's maximum efficiency and there's economy of scale. And both of those go hand in hand. If you think big picture about mortgage lending, it starts with an application and ends up, for the most part, with a loan as a mortgage-backed security. Most loans go into Fannie, Freddie, or Ginnie mortgage-backed security. So the key dynamic, though, is the process from that 1003 all the way through to the securitization process. And the key is to go from application to securitization the most efficiently and with the lowest cost. So we do that through maximum efficiency and economy of scale. So maximum efficiency is pretty straightforward. That's a one-touch process. That's do it right the first time and do it fast. Do the job quickly, do it perfectly every single time. Throughout the entire process, that means a complete 1003, doing everything perfectly all the way through to the end, getting the loan closed. But even if you do this, you've also got to have economy of scale. If you don't have economy of scale, you're never going to have the profit spreads or the competitive position to be successful over the next 6 months at the very least. So the focus is to have the lowest possible cost per loan, and we get to the lowest possible cost per loan because we take all of our overhead, like electricity and IT and accounting and compliance and legal, and you take all this stuff and you spread it out over the maximum number of loans possible. And by doing that, you get the lower cost per loan, and that makes it so you can make money on every loan. So we've got to have everybody working at maximum efficiency. That also means everybody's got to be working at maximum capacity, and we have to have economy of scale where we're spreading our overhead out over way tons of loans. So there's actually two paths that can survive in this type of environment. The first is we can be a tiny, tiny company, be really little with really small overhead. Those companies can be okay because they have very little overhead. They rely on other companies to do the heavy lifting. They maybe have an outsourced accounting. They have very limited IT. They don't have a legal department. They have very little compliance. They rely on other people like the aggregators to do a lot of the heavy lifting for them. So that can work too. Great big huge companies can do well also because they actually do achieve economy of scale where they're able to achieve the lowest cost per unit, the lowest cost per loan by taking their overhead and spreading it out over tons and tons of people. Like if you've got a team of underwriters, you may have one supervisor supervising 10 underwriters, or maybe if it's even 20 underwriters are supervised by one supervisor, and over that person there might be one. So you get to this level of minimum overhead cost, and that's the key. The problem is, if you're stuck in the middle, you're going to have the worst of both worlds. So if you're stuck in the middle, that means that you're big enough that you've got all this overhead, but you're not big enough to spread the overhead over enough units such that you have lowest cost per unit. If you're coming in with cost per loan above average, or even if you're even half, like 90% of average, you're still too high. You've got to get costs down in order to survive. Got to have great pricing, high efficiency, and low cost. And you get low cost by having your overhead being reduced and your overhead spread over large volumes of loans. So if you're stuck in the middle, you either got to get bigger and drive toward economy of scale by adding volume, or you got to shrink. You got to shrink overhead so that your cost per loan is down. You might even have to eliminate an entire layer of management. You got to get lean and mean. You got to be very efficient. Everybody's got to be at full capacity. If you've got a team working at 50% capacity, well, you have 200% too much cost. You got to cut, you got to reduce, you got to store up all the nuts for the winter so that you can make it through to next May. I know it's an unpleasant topic, but it's a reality of the economic environment that we face today. We want every function at full capacity. We want overhead spread over the maximum number of units, and we want to have maximum efficiency with do it right the first time, every time as you're doing it quickly. So there you go. That's the Profit Doctor for today. Thanks, Dave. Hope you guys are having a great time at the conference, and we will connect again next week live.
Thanks, Andy. Appreciate that. Folks, we're going to be right back with the Hot Topic segment right after this message from Black Knight.
As housing prices climb, U.S. homeowners are holding more tappable equity than ever before. Effectively capturing the equity market could pose a unique challenge for lenders who may be limited by the capabilities of their current loan origination system or consumer lending platform. Lenders looking to streamline their home equity business processes can benefit from Black Knight's LoanSphere Empower loan origination system. Using this robust and intelligent technology, Empower can originate both first mortgages and home equity loans on the same system. This single configurable solution will help lenders improve margins, support regulatory requirements, and enhance customer satisfaction. To learn more about Empower, visit blackknightinc.com today.
Today in the Hot Topics segment, I'm excited to share with you an interview with Bob Brooksmit. Now, he is the incoming president and CEO of the MBA, and I'm really excited for you to get to know him. It was great getting to know him and hearing about how he came into the mortgage industry and his journey through the industry and his thoughts about the future. So without further ado, let's get into the interview with Bob. Bob, good to have you with us. I am very appreciative that you're taking a few minutes out of your very busy schedule to join us. Thank you for being here.
You're welcome, David. It's great to be here with you.
You've had a very distinguished 33-year career in mortgage lending, and you have no doubt been influenced by numerous people. But I want to start by talking first about how you even got into mortgage banking. For many of us, it was kind of, we found ourselves there and we stayed here because we enjoyed it. I got here 45 years ago and I've never left. I love this industry. But how did you come to end up with a 33-year career in mortgage banking?
Well, David, I too am an accidental mortgage banker. I graduated from college in 1985, and instead of going around Europe like I should have and like my friends were doing, I moved in with my brother in New Jersey and took a temporary job, and my second assignment was with the Money Store in Union, New Jersey. Wow. And I took a temporary job there typing forms and processing mortgages and fell in love with the industry, and here I am.
So that's a great point. You fell in love with the industry. What was it that appealed to you about this industry? What was the fit?
I would answer that on two levels. One is on the day-to-day part of it, I liked the nature of putting loan files together and viewed it as a bit of a jigsaw puzzle and how the prospective homeowner qualified for various programs and which one made the most sense for them and also was one that met the investor requirements. So I considered that a challenge. And then, of course, more broadly, the reward is that we were enabling home ownership, which is among the more noble callings, I think, in this country. So to have the challenge, the day-to-day challenge, and then the result of the efforts being people in homes that they own, I find very gratifying.
Yeah, I think it is probably one of the more rewarding things we can do. It's one of the most transformative things that someone can happen in their life, you know, getting married, you know, having children, buying your first home. I mean, those are all pretty seminal type events in someone's life. So I share that with you. That's what was really the glue that held me to this industry is helping people get in homes and doing so responsibly. Who would you say has been the biggest influencer of your career, Bob?
Well, I'm fortunate to not have a single answer for you. Every step along the way, I've been fortunate to have mentors, whether formally playing the role or just mentoring me by doing their work in a conscientious and ethical way and having me watch them and ultimately emulate them. So I would give you a couple examples. At Prudential Home Mortgage, where I spent 7 years, Bruce Muller was my boss there and an absolute guru on operations. And at Chevy Chase Bank, a guy named Alex Boyle was the vice chairman of the bank and had been in or near mortgages his whole career and taught me a great deal about it.
Well, when it comes to leadership, who is it that you look up to and admire from a leader standpoint? I know we've had a recent leader, David Stevens. He's done an amazing job. But who would you say has been the person you would say, I really would like to model my leadership style after this person?
I would name my father there. He was a minister and was able to relate to people regardless of their socioeconomic or racial or gender profile. And it's a trait that I hope I've picked up from him. I'd like to think I have. And it's stood me in good stead, and I hope will continue to.
That's encouraging to hear. I love it when we honor our parents, and it's something that I do. My dad had a big influence. That is really encouraging to hear. Thank you. Appreciate you sharing that. You know, when you look at the events that have impacted your career, you know, is there any events within our industry that you'd say this has really had a big influence on me? And we all think of the housing crisis and the role of that. Was it that, or was there something else?
I think that having been in it for so long, as you mentioned, 33 years since 1985, and having seen so many cycles, and of course the most tumultuous one was the crisis, but even before then, seeing how the industry reacts when the volume contracts and what happens when the rates are low and the refis are flying in over the transom and you're just trying to keep your head above water and meet the rate lock so that the borrowers can get those lower interest rates that they're looking for. I think just having been through the cycle several times and having done it in leadership positions at MBA member companies makes me appreciate the ups and downs of the business and also be able to empathize with our members who are making difficult decisions in both good and bad times, whether it's how do I cut my costs a little and reduce my footprint while the storm passes and the volume's not very good, or how do I find qualified people to get through the backlog and make sure that I serve my clients well. So I think that just being through the cycle several times has been a big help for me in my career.
That's encouraging to hear, Bob, especially having gone through a number of these business cycles myself. You know, it's comfort for me to know that you, too, have gone through several of these cycles, and it's very reassuring, I'm sure, to our listeners. Another important topic that's coming up right around the corner is GSE reform, especially when you realize it's the 10-year anniversary of the government taking over both Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and putting them into conservatorship. What are some of the key points you feel are most important as we look to the future in this particular area?
Well, I think that just to ensure a level playing field among all sizes of originator,
right,
and to urge Congress to act. Now, everyone knows nothing will happen before January with the midterm elections looming.
Right.
Although we considered it a very positive sign that Jeb Hensarling put forward a bipartisan discussion draft of a bill that acknowledge that an explicit guarantee was required so that private capital would be on the hook for a good deal of the losses, but that the government would continue to play a role, which we have always maintained as an essential part of GSE reform. And we are also working very closely with the administration. I've had meetings as recently as 2 days ago on this to guide whoever gets the role at FHFA in January. I suppose it's possible it could be sooner, but certainly in January, and whether that's in an acting capacity or a Senate-confirmed permanent director of the FHFA, we are working very closely with the administration on ways in which administrative reform could proceed, with our caution, of course, being that we want the market to function smoothly and not harm homeowners and home buyers, and along those lines, making sure that the private label securities market is vibrant and able to play a big role as private capital returns.
Your view on the Feds, they've been buying so many of the mortgage-backed securities. Your thoughts on the Federal Reserve, how can we become less reliant there? What are some of the initiatives the MBA has there?
Here's where I will take advantage of my short tenure and tell you that I would defer to Mike Frattantoni for that question.
Good. That's good. Michael does a great job. Big fan of the whole MBA. The staff that you're inheriting there is just such a hardworking, talented group of people. And then I'm really encouraged by the fact that you have played such an active role in the MBA. In the few minutes we have remaining here, we are both out championing the MBA and wanting to go out and see the MBA continue to grow. And we got a lot of renewals coming up. So talk to the members that are there that are looking at the possibility, should we renew, should we not renew? What are the key reasons why people need to be involved with the MBA? Seems so evident to you and I, but maybe for those that are wondering, help them through that, Bob.
Sure. And before I start answering in my current role, I want to emphasize that the companies that I've led have been members at MBA for decades, and both on the lending side and on the associate member side when I was at Treliant, which is a consulting firm that serves mortgage customers. So while, of course, I'm going to answer this question from my current perch, I think that I'm a little more credible having been the guy writing the dues checks for many years. And the advocacy that MBA does on our members' behalf is really hard to overemphasize. And in fact, I'll confess I've been surprised at the really ready access we have to both sides of the aisle on Capitol Hill. And under Bill Kilmer's very able leadership, we have four full-time lobbyists, Democratic House, Democratic Senate, Republican House, Republican Senate, and they know the members extremely well, they know the staff well, and the doors there are open to us on both sides of the aisle. And I just can't...
That's encouraging.
I just can't tell you how valuable that is to the interests of all of our members. And equally so at the administration, where I've already had several high-level meetings and found really broad receptivity to our members' concerns. So I think that is a key thing for members to consider as they renew their affiliation with the MBA. And I would also say that the opportunities that our conferences provide for networking, for making really valuable business connections that make our members' business more efficient and more profitable, are especially important at a time like this when margins are compressing. And so our education and conference programming, I think, is just top-notch. I agree with you about the caliber of our staff. Very grateful to Dave Stevens for all of the great work that he did during his time here so that I can walk in with a really talented and committed staff and just great relations with the administration and on the Hill.
One of the questions as we wrap it up is, looking ahead, what do you think is the biggest challenges you face?
One of MBA's strengths is its diversity and its inclusion of so many different types of business. Of course, we have single family and multifamily and commercial. We have independent mortgage bankers, and we have banks. We have REITs, and we have credit unions. We have large, we have small, we have regional, we have national. We have really everything.
It's diverse, that's for sure.
Right. And, of course, it's not quite as easy to come to consensus on every issue as it would be if we were a much smaller trade association representing just one of those interests. But the power of a position that is advocated by an association like ours with such a broad reach is really great. So the challenge is to come to consensus on important matters, but then it brings such a benefit in the strength of our voice that it's a challenge that is really well worth the effort of overcoming. And one other thing I would like to add is that we are redoubling our efforts with sister trades that...
Oh, good.
That,
good.
Where housing matters. And I'll mention specifically the American Bankers Association, the National Association of Realtors, and the National Association of Home Builders, where we've had really strong collaboration, and I think you can expect to see a lot more of that.
I'm really encouraged to hear that. I think it's so important that it is truly a community, and we're all playing in the same space as a residential finance system here in America, so that's great. And I'm really encouraged by your leadership. I think it's important to note that you served as the chairman of the MBA Residential Board of Governors, also known as RESBOG. So, I mean, there's a good consistency to the leadership, and I'm so excited. And I'm going to go back to the person you admire the most that had the biggest influence on you, and that's your dad. I mean, I know having so many friends who are sons of pastors, I know what a challenge it is to be a pastor. I think it's the hardest job on the planet. And so you've obviously watched someone navigate those waters very skillfully. And I'm very excited about your leadership. And so congratulations. Very excited about getting to know you and working closely with you, Bob. And so thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day to be here with us. Appreciate it.
Well, David, I really appreciate your time. And thank you for all you do on our behalf as well.
Well, look forward to seeing you walking the halls here at this conference. We're going to be airing this interview live when we're there together in Washington, D.C. Thank you so much, Bob, and to say hi to the whole staff. You're really, it's so true. You are inheriting an amazing team from Marcia Davies all the way through the whole organization. It's just all a stand-up quality group of people, and I'm pleased for you that you get to lead that organization. Thank you.
Thank you, and we'll see you soon.
Folks, I hope you enjoyed that interview of Bob Brooksmith. I encourage you to take that interview and share it with others and let them get excited about the future of the industry and our leadership at the MBA. Next week's Hot Topic guest will be Phil Treadwell of Mortgage Marketing Expert Podcast. That's right, we're getting a podcaster on. Phil and his wife, I met them and have gotten to know them recently. I did an interview on his podcast here a while back, and it went really well, and I'm now looking forward to have Phil on and talking with us about the Mortgage Marketing Expert Podcast. He really is focused on loan originators, and I think you're going to enjoy it. Thanks for taking the time to listen this week. Have a great week, and we look forward to seeing you back here next week. Special thank you to each of our sponsors, Arch MI, Black Knight, Open Mortgage, the MBA, Lenders One, Mortgage Collaborative, Velma, and Knowledge Cube. Good to have you with us, everybody. Have a great week.
You've been listening to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Transformational Mortgage Solutions. Thanks for listening.